This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to English with Fraser, the weekly podcast for intermediate English learners who are serious about improving. Whether you're brushing up or building your confidence, join me each week for real conversations, smart tips, and the touch of that British charm. Let's level up your English one episode at a time. Hello, and welcome back to English with Fraser. You're listening to part three of my special Beijing travel series. Of course, in part one and two, we went to the Great Wall, we saw the beautiful water town underneath, but now we're going into the centre of Beijing, into the heart of Beijing, where the magic happens. And of course, we have to go to two of the most famous and beautiful places, both for native Chinese and also tourists. That is, of course, the Summer Palace and the massive, the grand, the famous, the magical, the mysterious Forbidden City. So today we are having a deep dive into the imperial past of China, and we visited not one, but two of the most iconic historical landmarks in the entire country.
Two royal palaces in one trip, Fraser. Careful. People will start calling you Emperor Fraser of Yorkshire.
So part one is the Summer Palace. Peace, beauty, and a lake fit for an empress. Let's begin with the Summer Palace, as actually this was the first place we visited, even before the Great Wall. I think on the first day, this was our first trip, so our first main place on the itinerary we decided to go to. So the Summer Palace, or Yihe Yuan in Chinese, in Mandarin rather, actually means the Garden of Nurtured Harmony. And honestly, the name couldn't be more fitting. This place isn't just a palace, it's an experience. Now imagine this, a sparkling lake called Kunming Lake, surrounded by delicate willow trees, stone bridges, painted pavilions, distant hills rolling in the background. It's almost like you've stepped back thousands of years into a classical Chinese painting. Apart from the sheer huge quantity of tourists there, honestly, you could hardly move without walking into another tourist, but ultimately that is the China experience in the big cities and also summertime, spring festival time, or other Chinese public holidays. So I can't really complain, because that is exactly what I knew was going to happen, but even still, a lot of people. Now, the palace was mainly expanded by the Empress Dowager Cixi in the 1800s, and she loved the place so much that she allegedly diverted Navy funds to rebuild it. So took money that was supposed to go to the Navy to build the boats, and she said, no, let's build the Summer Palace up again, because she loved it so much.
A wise investment, if you ask me. Who needs a fleet of ships when you've got a marble boat and a view like that?
Ah, yes, Winston is absolutely correct. We cannot forget the marble boat. So it's a real boat-shaped structure made of stone, and it sits in the lake like a floating palace. It's actually more decorative than practical, but so very extra. There's also the long corridor, which we walked through, and that's a corridor covered, it's a walkway stretching nearly 730 metres, filled with over 14,000 colourful paintings. We walked its entire length, slowly, albeit, and soaked in each scene from Chinese legends, landscapes and mythologies. And then, of course, we couldn't forget the boat cruise. So we went on the boat cruise across the lake, and it's this lovely old-fashioned wooden boat, although it's not that old-fashioned because I seem to remember it was a motor-powered boat. So it wasn't some poor man rowing the boat, it was actually a motorboat. But that was good to just soak in the scenery, sit on the boat, chill in the shade, and just relax. And we definitely needed this because I remember I was wearing a black rucksack. So, you know, a bag that you wear on your back, that's a rucksack. And I had the two rucksack straps between my shoulders, going between my arms. And it was so hot, after walking around for maybe an hour, took the bag off, and I noticed on this grey t-shirt I was wearing, a grey polo shirt that had these massive dark black sweat patches on my arms. And it was actually kind of embarrassing. I mean, all the locals must have looked at me and thought, look at that silly white man. He's come to China, can't handle the heat. Look how much he's sweating. So after that, we made sure not to use my bag, and I carried my girlfriend's bag through the remainder of the trip.
I asked one of the local tour guides if they had a summer palace for bulldogs. They smiled, nodded politely, and slowly walked away. I guess she did not understand the Queens.
And lastly, on the topic of the summer palace, so as you're on the lake, you can see this tower, and there's sort of a tower of trees. And that's almost the centrepiece of the Summer Palace. And that what you're looking at is actually the Tower of Buddhist Incense, which is Fōxiānggǔ in Chinese. And it stands tall and proud on the Longevity Hill. And it looks over the Kunming Lake. And it's almost like a spiritual lighthouse looking over. Now, my research tells me that this was built during the Qing Dynasty and was originally intended as a place for royal Buddhist worship. And climbing up it was quite challenging. A lot of walking and hiking and climbing on this trip in general. But as you climb up in the sweltering heat, you pass through several terraces and more courtyards, and each one offers a fantastic view back out onto the Summer Palace. And when you do finally reach the top, you can look back and catch that panoramic view of the lake below, with all those boats that I was just on drifting across, and the mountains in the distance. Now, the tower itself is also pretty cool. It's octagonal, painted in deep reds, greens, and golden rooftop tiles that gleam in the sunlight. It feels both powerful and peaceful at the same time. Which does sum up a lot of these places in China. And this Buddha incense tower was where the Empress Dowager used to perform worship to the Buddha some 2 times a month. Part 2, The Forbidden City, China's Imperial Heart. So, removing ourselves from the lakeside serenity to a place of architectural strength and triumph. It is, of course, the Forbidden City, perhaps the most famous building in all of China. Now, located right in the centre of Beijing, and I really do mean right in the centre, this sprawling complex was the home of Chinese emperors for nearly 500 years. From the Ming Dynasty to the end of the Qing Dynasty, it's called the Forbidden City because for centuries, ordinary people weren't allowed to enter. Hence the name Forbidden. Only royalty, nobles, and selected officials could walk its sacred paths. When you pass through the gates, especially the Meridian Gate, which is the big main southern entrance, you instantly feel the grandeur. Endless red walls, golden rooftops, and giant courtyards. It's like stepping into another world, one full of power, ritual, and absolute authority.
And no corner shops, not a single place to buy a bag of crisps. Monarchs these days would never stand for it.
Although, actually, Winston is not correct, as there were a couple of shops within the Forbidden City, and actually a couple of restaurants. Now, I remember this very clearly because the weather forecast for the day had told us it shall rain. So of course we brought an umbrella and thank the Lord we did. So we were outside in the Forbidden City and suddenly the heaviest rainfall of all time. So of course I am used to rain in the UK, but this rain was something different. This rain was a different beast. Incredibly heavy, aggressive, and just the rain just seemed even larger. And I can imagine this is what it's like in monsoon season in places like Taiwan and Malaysia, although I've not actually been. So it was raining really hard. In British English, we say it was raining cats and dogs, which means it was just raining extremely heavy. And then we went inside this small, like, Team China shop because it was a shop and we were away from the rain. I just remember looking at all the gear they had. So, like, Team China jacket, panda stuff, of course, some ping pong t-shirt, some ping pong badge, Team China pencils, Team China notebook, all this stuff. Anyway, you didn't come to hear about the weather in Beijing. You came to hear about what I saw. So let's get back to it. So the Forbidden City is symmetrical and incredibly well planned. Every building has a meaning and each stone tells a story. So there's actually 980 surviving buildings within the Forbidden City and over 8,000 rooms. So almost like, well, literally like a village within the walls of the Forbidden City when you think about it. Almost like a village within the centre of the city. And then imagine at the time how many staff they needed to clean everything, keep everything in order, cook the emperor and empress food, serve them, and all that stuff. So some highlights from the Forbidden City, I'd have to say, were the Hall of Supreme Harmony. So this is the biggest building, and it is the centre of the Imperial ceremonies. And also the Inner Court. So you have the Inner Court and the Outer Court. As the name suggests, the Inner Court is the inside bit, and this is where the Emperor and his family actually lived. And lastly, the gorgeous Imperial Garden with its ancient cypress trees, peaceful rock formations. Unfortunately, we sort of had to rush out and run to the subway, run to get a bus, because it was raining so hard. So we didn't have as much time to appreciate the Imperial Garden as we would have liked.
I tried barking at the Emperor's throne room, just to see if the spirit of a Ming Emperor would tell me off. Sadly, nothing. Not even a puff of incense.
So, to summarise, what were the biggest reflections and contrasts from visiting the Summer Palace and the Forbidden City? Now, I definitely recommend anyone to visit, not one, but both of them. And the Summer Palace is all about peace, nature, and relaxation. A place where emperors and empresses could escape the stress of court life. Whereas the Forbidden City, on the other hand, is about power, order, and ritual. The beating heart of the Chinese Empire. That's a wrap on today's episode of English with Fraser. I hope you enjoyed and learned something new. Remember, mastering English is all about immersing yourself in natural content. After all, we're making English effortless, one episode at a time. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Keep going. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, and most importantly, share with a friend, family member, or colleague who also may be learning English. I'll be back soon with more natural English content. Until then, keep practicing, listening, and enjoy the journey. Bye for now.